Good evening. I'm going to reveal my age in a few different ways. When I was a kid, I remember my first transistor radio. That was the first one. It was a radio that looked like a can of STP motor oil. That was the second one. And I was perfectly content that it only got AM. That was the third one. That thing was amazing. It was a little can, like a can of oil, like a little can of motor oil. You could carry it anywhere, and if the station wasn't coming in clear, you could move it around or hold it up, and it would clear up. It would change. Carried it everywhere, worked with a battery, and took it to places, listened to the radio. One of those things. In those days, I would have never dreamed of the technological age that we live in today. Technology is advancing at such a rapid rate that one device has barely hit the shelves when the next newest, latest, and greatest thing comes in. The next phone, I just got this one, and there's already another one out. Technology is advancing very rapidly. In today's world, especially the last 7 months or so, America has learned to rely very heavily on the internet. We order things online, stores are closed, and people are having to order online or figure out how to use the computer. People that have never used a computer are having to learn how to use the computer. They rely heavily on the internet, also known as the World Wide Web, that web of networks that tie electronic devices together to form the what is called the information superhighway. Almost everyone I know has accessed this wealth of information at one time or another. In fact, were it not for the computers and the internet, we would have a very difficult time surviving the quarantine or surviving this pandemic. Everyone from school kids to CEOs rely on their computer for doing homework or for multi-million dollar business deals. How many of you have ever heard of Vinton Cerf or Bob Kahn? Most people have not. These two men are given the most credit for inventing the internet, although there are several others in their immediate circle that receive and deserve the credit as well. Contrary to what some may believe, Al Gore did not invent the internet. Although I read where the quote that he had stated that he invented the internet, it was kind of taken out of context a little bit. But I read where he was actually responsible for making the phrase the information superhighway popular. This information superhighway is such an integral part of our lives that students as early as grade school have a difficult time doing their homework without the internet. And we look at that and we think, really? That's kind of strange. Well, if you're not in a house with small kids, then you've missed it, because our kids are grown and it's difficult to imagine that. High school and college students cannot possibly follow their coursework without the internet. Some of you may have access to it. Perhaps you depend on your computer or smart device as your livelihood. I want to give you a short illustration. A few years ago, a friend of mine arrived for work one morning and turned on his computer to find that he was having a difficult time getting his information. The information was there, but he couldn't read it. It was encrypted. Whenever he tried to open anything, it was encrypted. He couldn't read it. As other employees started arriving at work, they found that their computers too, all the information was encrypted. He didn't know what to do. He couldn't figure out what to do. And he saw that there was an email there that said, important, open this. And it says, you have been hacked. It was someone was looking for a ransom. He called his technical guy, his IT guy, and he came over and started working on it right away. After a little while, he told my friend, he said, I'm afraid I have some bad news. Your computer has become infected. Infected? What do you mean infected? Well, apparently someone in your organization clicked on an email, a random email, and now your computer has been infected with a virus. Well, what am I going to do? I can't get my information. The technician says, well, fortunately for you, you had hired me and I put in place some precautionary measures to protect you from such attacks. He says, well, then why did I get attacked? He said, well, you got attacked because someone opened something they weren't supposed to open inadvertently. But I was able to remove the virus, and since I had taken all the precautionary measures, I was able to retrieve all of your information from the backup that I had created and generated. We need to make sure that your employees know not to open things that they are not aware of or that they're not familiar with. Do you know what the number one fear in our world is today? I don't know what it is, but I would assume that right now, today, I would guess it would be the fear of getting infected with the coronavirus. I don't see anybody else taking precautionary measures against anything else. Walk around and look at all the masks people are wearing. Look at the precautionary measures that people are taking to keep from getting this virus. When have you ever seen people in America wearing masks to protect them from influenza, tuberculosis, or anything else for that matter? We can see that some people in our society are truly scared. They're scared that they may get infected and die. So scared that they won't even leave their own homes. So scared that they won't even hug their loved ones. Some of them not even allowed to go near their loved ones. Whether this virus is as serious as they say it is or not, it has affected literally everyone in our country and most everyone in the world. We understand that. We see that. If you never had read a Bible, you never knew what the Bible was about, and you decided to read it one day, you would find that it begins by telling us where we came from. It begins by telling us that where humans came from. Scientists are constantly searching to try to find out exactly what our origin is. However, the Bible has already told us that God made everything we know. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. God told us that He made everything we know, including man, in 6 literal days. It says in Genesis 1 verse 31, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Adam was the first man, and we're told in Genesis 5, verse 5, "Then all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." Some people look at that and they say, "That's impossible. How can a man live 930 years? Nobody lives that long. What would he have looked like? Think about what a 100-year-old man looks like." Well, I heard that's not necessarily the case. Moses was 120 years old, and his natural strength had not left him, and his sight had not abated him. He still had good vision. When does our vision go now? 40. 40. That's your mark. If you're not 40 yet, look forward to it. That's what they say, 40. I beat it. I was 42 years old, and I still could see good. And then one day I woke up, and I needed reading glasses. Doctor said, "You beat it by 2 years. You're doing great." 930 years. Have you ever wondered why those people lived so long back then? Certainly one reason was they were in the perfect environment, because God had created the perfect environment for His number one creation to live in and to sustain that life. He created the perfect environment for His creation. However, something must have changed along the way. And what changed was man became infected. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, we have what is referred to as the fall of man, where the serpent beguiled or tricked or convinced Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit and give it to her husband as well. Even though God said, "You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Genesis chapter 3 and verse 3. After they had eaten of the fruit, they saw their nakedness and they were ashamed. When God came to the man and asked him what he had done, he blamed the woman. "That woman you gave me." And when he asked the woman, she blamed the serpent. So God cursed the serpent, and then in Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." But this is not the end of man's infection. This is just the beginning of it. From this point forward, man has been infected with sin, and the infection gets worse and worse and worse. You remember from January till now, when we first started hearing about this virus, not that big a deal. It's over in China. There's been cases over here too, it's not that big a deal. if you think back to January and February, we'd have never guessed it would turn to what it is now. Well, this sin infection that man had from this first family was bad. In fact, their first son was a murderer by committing murder on his brother in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8. Man's sin infection just got worse. In fact, it got so bad that in the sixth chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, in the sixth chapter of Genesis, it says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God saw the wickedness of man. That sin had infected man so bad that he was only wicked. That's all his thoughts were about wickedness. Because of man's sin infection, God made a decision in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God said that it repenteth me. God regretted having made man because of the sin problem that he had. The infection had gotten so bad that God regretted ever making him. But this sin problem is one that's controlled by man. It's one that he just decides to do. It's not something that he can't help it. I can't help it. I'm infected. There's nothing I can do about it. It's made by his choices. God didn't just decide to quarantine the infection. He decided to wipe out all that were infected. That is, except for one man who found grace in his sight. And that man was Noah. So it was that the infection was not totally wiped out, in that he separated Noah and his wives, his sons and their wives. Many generations of men have come and gone since Noah and his family first stepped off of that ark to repopulate the earth. But man's infection with sin has only gotten worse since that time. When we first heard the term coronavirus, the report was that it was a new strain of the flu. Ah, well, no problem. They always come out with a new vaccine for the new flu. Or this one's bad. The vaccines we have won't work on it. Yeah, well, we kind of just thought it wasn't a big deal. Then we heard that it was a virus that could not be cured. There was no cure for it because it was a virus that was an animal virus. And so the human body couldn't fight it off. We found that it was passed to humans by people in Wuhan, China, who ate all sorts of animals. Next was that it was created in a lab in Wuhan, China, and they inadvertently or on purpose let it out. Conspiracy theories run amok that, yeah, they started infecting people on purpose. According to Wikipedia, as of today, 14.3 million cases have been reported across 188 countries, and 603,000 deaths have occurred. It also said 8.07 million have recovered. However, if I did the math right, that means that there are currently 120,630,000 live cases in those 188 countries. The media has had a heyday with this ever since it was first started, fanning the flames of fear and uncertainty. If you don't believe me, watch what happens when all of the protests started. They no longer had to fan that because they had something else to report on. So they start reporting on this. And they reported on it, and they reported on it until they milked it dry, and immediately grabbed back on the corona train and started reporting stuff about that. Numbers are up. The infection has gotten worse. Scary. The information we've received is so vast and contradicting that no one really knows if the virus has killed 100 people or 100 million. We just don't know. And you can't believe what you read or what you hear because all of them are different. Look it up. How many people have died of coronavirus? Then click on every single thing you look up, and it'll, before long you'll be like, who knows? We don't know. Some people get sick and say it's the worst thing that they've ever experienced. This virus got a hold of me. I thought I was going to die. I prayed for death. Others get it and say, I felt bad for a couple of days. Had a fever. Oh, my throat got itchy. It's kind of weird. I couldn't taste anything. Even the results, the symptoms of the virus are so vast that some people say it's really, really serious. Some people say it's not that bad. What is it? Well, some cases are mild while others are severe. I know a lot of people who don't believe the majority of the information we've given, but I don't know a single person who wants to be infected with this virus. Not one. Some people are self-quarantined and plan to stay that way until there's no trace of the virus on the planet. While others are going about life as usual, as though there never was a virus in the first place. These people are often looked down upon and scoffed at as being uncaring or unloving because they are supposedly are deliberately trying to get other people sick. I do not know a single person who is totally unconcerned about this virus, and I don't know any people that are deliberately trying to get people sick. Most of the people I know, if not all the people I know, when they get sick, they don't want to get others sick. Now, I want you to think about another virus for a second, the HIV or AIDS virus. When it was first discovered, there was a lot of controversy in the religious realm over this virus, especially since the main form of transmission is unprotected sex. So many Bible passages were thrown around. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. People would try to use the Bible and say they got what they deserved. No one deserves to die. We all know that there are infants with AIDS who got it from perhaps in the womb. Many people who acquired it through blood transfusions. However, scientifically speaking, its roots can be traced to man's other infection, and that is sin. How many millions or billions of people all over the world are infected with sin that don't care to do anything about it? Even though there is a cure. Since man is infected with sin, you would think that there would be some symptoms, and in fact, there are. However, many people ignore the symptoms, making the problem worse. We often find ourselves digging deeper and deeper in sin instead of repenting and turning away from it. Oh, just one more. And Satan keeps on dangling that little carrot stick to drag us farther and farther away from God, to lure us away, if you will. Paul speaks of it in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. It's nothing new. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. It says here of these people, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Have we become so infected with sin that we cannot see the symptoms? Have we become so infected with sin that God can see our wickedness like He did those of Noah's day and say the only man's sin is evil, the thoughts of man are only evil continually? It is a common belief that history repeats itself, and though God did say He would never destroy mankind with a flood ever again, He didn't say that man would not become so infected with sin that he wouldn't decide to bring the whole world to an end sometime. Can you imagine if that was today, tomorrow? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. We know the Bible says in Mark chapter 13 and verse 32, Mark chapter 13 and verse 32, but the day of the Lord, but the day and that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. I believe that we've become so infected with sin that we are just like those that Paul was talking about in Romans. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. Now, imagine if the world that we know, the world we live in right now, if it were to end today, and you were ushered into a waiting room of sorts with a bunch of other people, and as you sat there waiting, you're sitting you picture yourself in a waiting room, and there's walls around, and you're sitting up against a wall in a chair, and you're sitting there and wondering what's going to happen next, you hear a voice from the other room. And that voice from the other room sounds like a lawyer giving his defense. And he says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Romans chapter 1, 28 through 32. As you heard these things, would you believe that they were talking about your generation? Would you think this is the people he's talking about us? Your community, your family, your friends perhaps? What would it take to convince you that that was talking about your group? Your generation, your family, your friends? We live in a nation that has become so infected with sin that we are just like those people the apostles warned about. We are just like them. What is even sadder is the fact that many whom we are well acquainted with know that they are infected with sin and have absolutely no desire to do anything about it. Why? Not affecting me. It's kind of like the coronavirus. The guy that's laying in the hospital on a respirator gasping for his breath. I heard a guy talking about that. He said, yeah, so he was telling me about somebody that had it. He said, it would come in waves and I couldn't breathe. I thought I was going to die. This is it. This is it. I want to gather my family around and tell them goodbye. And then it would pass and it would get better. And then here it come again. It'd come in another wave and I'm gasping for air. And yet there are other people that said, had a little bit of a fever. So where do you draw the line? How much caution should I take? Sin is the same way. What are the effects of your sin? Keep on going. Life as usual. I'm fine. We don't face those consequences until after we pass. The consequence of sin is death. Scary thought. How about we each do a careful examination of our lives to see just how infected with sin we are? Or we have become, make the necessary changes in our lives. What is the cure for sin? Is there a cure? There's an infection for AIDS. There's some cures. Coronavirus, there's a lot of things that work. Some things they say work great. Some things they say don't. They say there's no vaccination or there's no real cure. A lot of people have recovered from it. What is the cure for sin? When the sinners came and sat down to eat with Jesus, Matthew chapter 9, verse 11 through 12, Jesus is the cure for sin. For the infection that man has is of sin, Jesus is the cure. Matthew chapter 9, verse 11 through 12, 11 and 12. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. We look at that verse and we think, what is he talking about? He's talking about sin sickness. And Jesus is the great physician. The world has a sin infection and Jesus is the cure. We talked about the gospel this morning in Bible class. The gospel comes from the Greek word euangelion, which means good news. The good news is there's a cure for man's sin problem, and it is Jesus Christ who died on the cross, so that we could have forgiveness of sins. He is the cure for the world's sin infection. The good news we need indeed, but we need to get the gospel to those who are infected. We need to get the gospel out to those who are infected. If you could right now, if you had a cure for the coronavirus, would you do anything to take it to those people who are dying from it or who are even sick from it? Would you take that cure, or would you say they probably don't want it? They're not gonna believe me anyway. There is a chance that they won't. In fact, some of the things that right now that doctors say will help to people to recover from the corona, people are rejecting. No, I don't believe that. It could help them, and they reject it anyway. There is the chance of that. But wouldn't you, if you had the chance, save a neighbor, save a friend, save a family member if you could, with the cure for coronavirus? And what about the cure for the sin problem that we have? We have the cure because we have the gospel. We just need to take it to them. Mark chapter 2, verse 17, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected?